So that is extremely crucial, because with a shift in values comes a shift in financial destiny. Because if I was to ask you, how much have you saved? If I was to total up every dollar you've earned from the time you were conceived on this planet, and how much do you have as a net worth today, which is a net of how much you saved, that really has a lot to tell you where it is on your value list. I believe, according to what I've read recently, the average Australian saves about 4% net. That's their net of what they've earned. It was higher in the 70s here. It's dropped. You've got more of a consumer society, more maybe an influence from America or whoever around the world, but you're more consumer today. You want immediate gratification today. At one point, you were saving a higher percentage. It's gone down. Let me give you an interesting statistic about the America, because America, some people have this idea that it was a relatively prosperous society, but let me give you some facts about it. And this is around 2000, so it's a few years old, but it's pretty well close to this. In around 2000, they found out that in America, 93% of the American population at retirement had to depend on Social Security to survive. And 69% of those people had to rely on their children to help them. That's supposedly the wealthier country, because the average American saved 3%. Now, the average income for them led them to end up with a house today at about $160,000 to $170,000 home. And a net return to them from all their investments, pensions, and Social Security of approximately $1,500 to $1,700 a month. Now, the house, they can't sell, because then they got to go to another place, and that's costly. So they have to live in their house, and they're having to survive on about $1,700 a month, which isn't really a high-quality lifestyle. So it has nothing to do with how much money you make. It has everything to do with how you manage it. And the way you manage it is based on the hierarchy of your values, and the hierarchy of values dictates your financial destiny. There was a lovely lady in the United States, and pardon me for using some stories of the United States, that just happens to be where I've spent some of my time. There was a lady there who was a black lady. You may have heard of her, but she's a black lady, who, Afro-American lady, that never made more than $2.50 per hour in any job she held. She's about 89 or 90 years old today. I think she's still alive. She never made more than $2.50 an hour while she worked. She retired many years ago. She saved 17% of her $2.50. And contributed $10 million about 3 years ago to a charitable organization from herself, because what she did is she saved every single day. Whatever she made, she saved it. 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 And that accumulated, and that started compounding, and it started growing. And then she caught some of the stock markets that went up in the 50s, and then again in the 70s, and again in the 90s. And she ended up becoming extremely wealthy woman enough to be able to donate $10 million. She never made more than $2.50. So it has nothing to do with how much you make. It has everything to do, in fact, if you make less, your idea of financial independence is in the same ratio as if you make more. It takes about the same amount of time to be financially independent if you're only making $5 an hour as if you're making $50 an hour or $500 an hour. The same time, because the same science is applying. Now, how many here would love to raise their lifestyle? They would love to raise their lifestyle and live an elaborate lifestyle. I'm going to give you a formula before the program's out on what I recommend to do to raise your lifestyle. If you follow the formula, it won't be stressful to raise your lifestyle. If you don't, you increase the probability of adding stress, financial stress. Because most people raise their lifestyle and don't raise their saving and end up in debt, and then they're not appreciating their lifestyle. So our first principle was appreciating money. And appreciating money means putting it higher on your value list. Because if it's not high on your value list, it's not going to come to you. Whatever you appreciate comes to you. If you appreciate your husband or wife, you have a long-lasting relationship that compounds its interest. If you don't appreciate the relationship, it decays and you have to start all over, just like the savings. If you don't appreciate finances, it starts and stops and starts and stops, and you lose time, and time is money. Time is compounding and interest. The first principle is appreciate the value of money. And by the way, if the universe was to give you $1 million right now, let's just say you received $1 million. If you didn't know what to do with it, what's likely to occur with it? What happens to people that win the lotto that don't know how to manage their money? Water seeks its own level and it tends to dissipate, doesn't it? I like this little formula. This is an idea here. You can kind of get this one. If you don't know what you're going to do with the money you say you desire, why would the universe give it to you? If you don't know what you're going to do with it, think of it this way. If you are in a company and you're wanting a promotion and you don't know anything about that position that you're wanting to promote to, why would the universe give you that promotion if you don't even know what to do with it? If you don't know how to manage money wisely, why would the universe give you more money to manage? When you manage money wisely, more money comes to you. When you manage money poorly, more money is taken away. To those who have, more is given. To those who haven't, more is taken away. It's an ancient proverb. So those people that value it receive more of it, see opportunities. Those that devalue it, it's more taken away because it keeps being spent on things that are higher in value that depreciate in value instead of things that appreciate in value. People that appreciate money tend to put their money where it appreciates in value. So I want you to write that. People appreciate money tend to put their money where it appreciates in value. And people that don't appreciate money tend to spend it on things that depreciate in value. Because it's a reflection of their perception of money. How many are following along with me so far? Am I speaking too slow? Too fast? Is it warm in here? Cold in here? It's okay.